This is 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow us on Twitter at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A little extra effort could earn you a star.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Seconds left. Gardner, right circle, Marner shoots, blocked. The Bruins paddle it up the left side and out to center ice. And as they've done all season long, winning without key players in their lineup, today victorious without Patrice Bergeron. Your final tonight at the Air Canada Center. Bruins 3, the Leafs 1. Saturday night, the Bruins have a chance to end this series in Boston.
All right, everybody, we made it to Friday.
Hey!
And we can all be thankful for that.
Was that Jed Surratt? That sounded like a 10-year-old little kid. Giddy. Giddy on the last day of school. Summer's here.
Your final tonight at the Air Canada Center. Oh. Bruins 3, the Leafs 1. Saturday night, the Bruins have a chance to end this series in Boston.
Saturday. And Sunday, too.
Stick that in your ear.
Can you hear?
Stick it. And there ain't no flags.
In Boston.
It's like a monster truck promo.
What I tell you at the end of the year, as the season
World
is winding
down. World of Wheels.
If this team,
at Worcester's DCU Center,
here comes Gravedigger. Oh,
see the action of these high-flying machines.
I said, wait till the games get bigger and bigger, and we get to Game 7, good God, and you take the lead late, that guy's going to lose it.
Here's a question I have. Is the swing from 2-1 to 3-1 versus 2-2 like the biggest swing in professional sports?
Yep.
It's got to be. I can think of no other big swing that matches something like what we saw last night for the Bruins.
And Game 5, sneaky most important game in all
sneaky.
These series.
The finish game.
Game 5, seriously.
With games in
how
hand.
How often does it come down to a Game 5? It's either a put-away game or you are essentially taking Game 1 of a best of 3.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you could look at it that way.
I mean, either way, this is huge. Huge that they get this win on Saturday night. Do you want this team to go back to Toronto?
I called it.
No, I don't.
I called it.
You called what?
Those son of a you-know-whats had the nerve to play the Zombie Nation goal song.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I'm like, watch this. And I'm sitting with Brody. And he goes, Dad, why are they playing their song? I said, because they want them to score. And then bang, right down the ice. Tell you what, when that game got to 3-1, that third goal was where you started to feel good or feel relieved because 2-1, we got a game. And for the amount of shots they had on goal, and I know we sit here every day and people rip Tuukka Rask, and they talk about stealing a game in the playoffs and living up to your $7 million a year salary. But boy, did he do that last night.
Sure as hell lived up to that last night.
That guy was a freaking
stud. Did he steal a game for you yet? Is that a steal? I give him a steal
And it's something I should have asked yesterday, but we keep talking about this, and everybody keeps calling up. And I heard multiple people call Felger and Maz yesterday saying Tuukka Rask is going to have to steal a game at some
Rask
point.
Rask needs to steal one.
What are the qualifiers? You know, what's the criteria for stealing a game?
Oh, like last night, Bergeron being out.
And it's like, I don't know, but I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah.
I saw it last night.
You did.
Yes.
He stole a game for you last night.
Yep.
That was it.
When
when you win a game, and the other team doesn't score very much, and you're in a game that you look at it, and if you watched it with your own two eyes, you think to yourself, the Bruins could have gotten their ass kicked in that game. And that is exactly what could have happened last night.
Hey, thank God for a little puck luck early, right? Whether, obviously you didn't see the puck or whatever. If you don't get that goal by Krug early, that gave you a little confidence, right? Because I'm sure, as we were, we got the reports of Bergeron, he's a scratch, and we're like, you got to be freaking kidding me. What this guy's played with in the past, Beatles saw your tweet, cracked sternum, broken leg, cracked, punctured lung, you name it. This guy plays through anything.
No, those are all the things he played with in one single game.
Yeah, yeah.
I made sure I said that.
So, but was, I mean, if
he played with a punctured lung, a broken rib, a separated shoulder, he was doing all that at the same time.
We talked about this with Jaffe yesterday. Like, who's got more pressure this night? Like, this spot, does the rest help you or does it help them? You had rest. You found out Bergeron's not playing. And if we're thinking that, we're panicking. Imagine what the team was doing. Because you have to step up then, everybody.
Yeah.
But the goalie did.
I mean, it tells you that Bergeron didn't tell the trainers or the team, I can't go tonight. There is no way that happened. That is not what is going on. He's clearly being held out. And a lot of people have jumped on the, it must be a concussion, which I do not believe it is.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that because he was on the ice practicing with the team. And if you have a concussion, they're not doing that and then holding you out of the game.
Well, if it's the upper body based on the Plekanec hit in the last game, I can't see how a concussion results from that. And we don't know if he sustained the injury from that hit.
He hit him square.
Well, his head sort of snaps back a little bit.
Yeah.
It does kind of go back, but I don't believe it's... I just don't believe it's a concussion because he wouldn't have been back out on the ice. And I don't know that it comes through in the audio. I've listened to it to think maybe we could play it, but... If you watch his pregame, he spoke to the media yesterday morning in the locker room, and he sort of, I want to say he sort of like breathing in deep in between sentences.
Those are hiccups.
Sort of like he has a bruised sternum or bruised ribs.
Like
or
if
something.
Hardy had to go upstairs and get coffee and come down, and it just takes the wind out of him. You know, it's just kidding. You saw that hit, and they went to it, and they showed it in slow-mo. First thing I thought is cracked sternum. Like, he hit him square, right around the heart of that chest cavity.
He hit him square right in the chest, and I think that's what it is. I think it's something up there. It's not. I don't think it's a concussion. But I also think that when they say he's day-to-day, they're not lying. At some point, he's going to be back. And maybe not this series, but it's not as if he's going to be missing the rest of the way. Tuukka steals one last night for the Bruins. You can say that now. He stole one.
Yeah,
Bruins win.
Where you at, Tuukka haters?
And now they're up 3-1. A big, big swing in
huge.
This series last night in Toronto, and now they have a chance to come home and close it out. We're starting there. Also want to get Zoe's thoughts on the passing of Gil Santos. I can tell you right now that coming up at 10:50 this morning, 10:50, 5-0.
I said 15.
I know.
I'm just sorry.
I'm just making it extremely clear.
When Jim talks in our ear, it's like this. When Dan O'Brien talks, 10:15.
10:50 this morning, we will pay tribute with some of his best work.
Sorry, Jim.
And obviously, that's a lot to pick from. That's a large catalog of great work when it comes to Gil Santos. So It's not short.
And this guy, for anybody that's been with our show forever and knows our show, and you know when Jim cuts something up, same thing. Jimmy Stewart and Rich in the Morning. I mean, it's just works of art.
So we'll get to that coming up later in the hour. We're starting Bruins here on this Friday, but we are going to get to everything from the week.
Yep.
And we welcome you to do the same. 617-779-0985.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Miller with a little room. Rink wide for Krug. Shoots. He scores! Torrey Krug, top shelf by a screen. Freddie Anderson, a lightning strike. Bruins with a 1-0 lead. Right circle centers, and Marlowe denied. Point blank by Rask, who pushed across, stepped it with his right pad. Puck sent into the slot. Rask the save. Rebound right of the net. Rask, a terrific left-toe save. Moore, right circle, shoots. Rask the save. Ever so calmly flipped up that left club and snapped it. And here's Marner, speeds up into the slot, shoots. Rask the stop.
Tonight we needed him to dig in and be very good anymore.
A couple turning points there where they can take control of the game, and you know he made those saves and it turned it around for us.
He gives us an opportunity every night. He made a lot of big saves at the right times early on to give us a chance to get back in the game, and we're really going to give him a lot of credit tonight.
Pastrnak up on the line right side, centers Marchand, he scores! 2-1 Bruins!
I moved last second, you know, and he let me go through. Puck got a chance to go 2-1, so he always found the energy for that somehow.
2-on-1 potentially. Krejci over the line right side into the right circle. Centers fired. They score! David Krejci, 2-on-1, goes cross ice to Jake DeBrus, who snapped it in! And as they've done all season long, winning without key players in their lineup, today victorious! Without Patrice Bergeron, Saturday night, the Bruins have a chance to end this series in Boston.
do a hockey game with Judd. Just one time. Do preseason something. Give me something. He scores! He's morphing into a pirate, and I love it. My little pirate. It's a good call.
How about the last two Bruins goals last night? Between the Marchand goal.
Oh, was that pretty?
When it was Pastrnak feeding Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
Or their third goal, which was just gorgeous. David Krejci did all the work on that.
Sure.
Let's be honest. I mean, that was all Krejci there. Beautiful finish.
Young guys are
beautiful
good.
Finish by Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah.
But the hard work there being done by David Krejci. Credit to David Krejci on that. But to go back to one of those calls that Judd had about doing the job all year long while missing guys, having guys out of the lineup, that speaks to what this team has been all year long. I mean, this team has fought all year long, and this team has had the it factor all year long. And last night, they had the it. They had the it, and Tuukka Rask was a big part of that. 617-779-0985. Frank the Tank on the Bruins win last night. What do you got, Frank?
First, I just want to say what Gil meant. You know, for me, he was like Bob Wilson or Fred Cusick. I mean, for a long time, I mean, as a Patriots fan, I mean, he was all we had if we wanted to hear the game or find out what was going on. I mean, the dude was important to us like no other. It's a sad, sad day. Look, as far as the Bruins go last night, I mean, it shouldn't, you know, that it factor, it starts with the coach. You know, it starts with him, and then it trickles its way down through your captains, through your alternate captains. They just haven't quit all year long. They've gone at it with a clear mind and just, this is the game in front of us. We've got to win it. And it shouldn't go unnoticed last night, Jake DeBrusk's game. He was hitting. He was forechecking. I mean, that kid deserved that goal just as much as anybody else did. And, you know, now they've got to, you know, put that game behind them, focus on Saturday night, and, you know, beat the bag out of this team on Saturday and move to the next round. That was a great win. Good performance by Rask. Got to keep it going for Saturday. Have a good day, boys.
All right, Frank. Appreciate the call. They're up 3-1 now, and you could say that in every game this series, the Bruins have looked good. You could even say they looked good or looked okay in the game they lost.
Haven't had one no-show game where you just say, oh, you got your ass kicked, 6-1.
No. Haven't had that happen.
They've had borderline no-show periods, and ironically, the go-ahead goal last night was scored in the second, which I thought was their worst stretch of hockey last night. I mean, the puck was down in their zone for what seemed like most
felt
of
like they
period.
Were in a penalty game kill one. The whole period.
Reminds me of the second period of game one that felt the same way.
Just really, really
frantic.
And then
you come out saying, how did you win that period? How did you win that period on the score sheet?
By David Pastrnak battling through a defender in the neutral zone, being strong on the puck, and having the sweetest, most glorious pass of the night over to Marchand, who did what an elite goal scorer does. When you have an open net and you have somebody thread you a pass that you may not even see coming, everybody thought Pastrnak was going to shoot that puck. It was a great fake. But Marchand, being the elite goal scorer that he now is, expected that pass, got the pass, and buried it in an empty net. Because, boy, you see it, guys. Sometimes you've got, you got an open net. How'd you miss it? Not if you're an elite goal scorer. Not if you turn into the offensive talent that Marchand has turned into.
You put it right off the camera. Right off the camera in the back of the net.
Yeah, you put that thing and you elevate it just in case Anderson thinks he's going to come across with some kind of miracle paddle save. Nope. I'm going to put that thing up high. I'm going to top shelf it. I'm going to bury that thing. And that's how you win the period. But just, you know, sheer luck almost by getting that 2-on-1 at that moment. And that's how you come away as a plus one for those 20 minutes.
Mark is in Medford. Hey, Mark. Mark, go ahead.
So, guys, what's up, guys?
Hi.
First off, I want to say, that pass by Pastrnak last night, okay? Did you see them do the flashback against the Islanders early on in the season?
No.
What?
I don't recall.
It was a carbon copy. Same exact spot, same exact type of pass. To Marchand with an open net. I thought it was the same game. It was incredible. They went to the archives early on in the season. And I want to be the first to say, yes, that was the definition of a goaltender stealing a game last night. Kudos to Tuukka Rask last night. Stood on his head. But Toronto looked like it seemed they looked like they were relying way too much on that stretch pass last night, and finally it caught up to them. The Bruins clogged the middle up, and after that, it was all zero, guys, because that's all Toronto had last night.
Yeah, that stretch pass did catch him a couple of times last night. Again, it's tough to defend.
Okay, so yesterday we said, you know, talk about style of game and how the game's played. We said there hasn't been a clunk or a dud yet. That game ends 4-3 and they lose. We still feel pretty good about this team today. That series is now 2-2. Without Bergeron and not understanding where he is health-wise, say you lose a one-goal game last night, but you play really, really well. I don't know. I can't sit here and say that I'd come in today. And I feel the series is over. That's the way I feel right now. That's how huge that game is. It's a 3-1.
I think they're going to win the series.
You got to choke.
I don't rule out Toronto winning a game again.
I agree.
Over.
But I mean, it's...
You think there's no way the Bruins lose
over.
Saturday?
It should be over. You got three shots to get one. This thing should be over.
Nope.
Or it's a choke job.
They win Saturday night.
Okay.
They ain't losing Saturday.
I'm not going to rule out the possibility of Toronto getting a win.
Saturday. I reject that.
Okay, that's fine.
Toronto doesn't come into this building
that's
Saturday
fine.
Night.
I do feel like the series is going to go to the Bruins. I mean, yeah, I can't envision Toronto coming all the way back in this. No, it feels like it is over, whether it ends Saturday or in games, you know, 6, 7, whatever it might be.
And Saturday.
Sure. Fine, Hardy. You can have it on Saturday. Where are we sitting Saturday,
Hardy?
You get our tickets yet?
You going again?
You get our tickets?
Sweetie Pie taking you again?
You
follow around again, like a little dog?
Yes, nice to meet you, too. Hi, Robert Poole. Nice to meet you.
Zoe and I will go in and glad hand the clients. We'll go in there. We're fun guys.
Other day was National On 5 Day, and I missed it, man.
We're fun guys to hang out with.
Yeah. That's what we need.
My kids told me that. When I told you that story about a couple months ago. I said, Dad, you know it ain't fun. I went nuts. I'm like, you know, I am Mr. Fun.
People ask for pictures with Zoe, and I take them.
Yeah.
You're his handler.
Like, you're not fun anymore. I'm like, what are you talking about? You open fun. You open dictionary.
Know.
My picture's
just
next to
Just let us
fun.
Know. Whoever has a suite and needs a couple extra guests for Saturday.
Zone Beetle are available. Hardy looks at it as work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're looking for a party.
Getting rid of those tickets for Saturday night's game. I don't think anyone's going to have a problem, you know, filling it up with A, actual clients, or B, it's like, oh, I got two extra. Well, we need three. The three of us. We need three. Jim, you want to go?
Jim's got a coach.
I thought you were already going, Hardy. I thought you were in already.
Jim's doing his.
You're not going?
I'm not going.
Okay, so now we need three tickets.
No, just get us in.
Talking game five?
I think we just get
game five.
You think they'll just let us in the building?
I got Paw Sox tomorrow night.
So, Jim's got his Celtic
kids
podcast.
The kids got student.
Yeah, listen to this.
They got good grades, so they got tickets. They're going on the field before the game because they got good grades.
Both
of my kids.
He's got Paw Sox. We'll take T-Bone.
T-Bone.
So now we need four.
We need four. We'll settle for three because Zoe probably won't go.
No, I'd go.
No, he'd go.
Hey,
he'd go.
No, close
he'd
up
go.
Game? Come on.
8 o'clock?
He'd go.
8 o'clock Saturday with nothing the next day. I wouldn't go 8 o'clock Friday or Thursday.
No, but Saturday, we'd start drinking early.
I went to Timberlake on a Wednesday. You guys are taking bets on that one, I know. You know what happens here, too? See, Jim's
who
kids.
Who's taking bets as to whether or
you
not
you guys
you
are like,
go.
Yeah, you're not going to go. Who's going with you? You or who are you giving them to? Jim's kid's sneaky smart.
Oh, here we go again.
So I've been using people.
Because
everybody
thinks he's dumb.
I love you people on Twitter.
But he's sneaky smart.
I love you people on Twitter. Like, that was a sneaky good goal. Like, people are trolling me on Twitter now
with
the sneaky
are.
Thing.
You are sneaky smart.
And I love
smart.
It.
Yeah. Jim's kid's just smart.
Scott
Zolak
is sneaky smart.
Sneaky smart. Most people wouldn't assume that Scott Zolak got into Harvard, but he did.
Have you seen the pictures of Jim's kids? You see Jim's kid in like a tux? He's a block.
Yeah,
he looks like Cartman in a tux. Jim's kid's going to get to that game. Jim's going to be like, so excited. Come on, we're going to Paw Sox, getting great seats. Kid's going to be like, why does it say Paw Sox? Where does it say Red Sox, Dad?
We got the milk jug. We're cutting the milk jug out so they can drop the balls down in the dugout and get the autographs.
Cool.
That is
cool.
Awesome.
That's
we got
cool
front row seats right from the dugout. That's right, right behind the dugout. So.
That's fun. All right, 617-779-0985. Hardy has our headlines. We come back on the other side. We're going to get Zoe's thoughts on Gil Santos, who passed away last night. We will get to that. And also coming up at 10:50, we will pay tribute. Again, trying to find the best of when it comes to Gil Santos. That is a large catalog of work, but Jim Louth did his best to try and narrow it down. That's coming up at 10:50.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins over the Maple Leafs 3-1 last night in Toronto to go up 3-1 in the best of seven. Tuukka Rask made 31 saves for coach Bruce Cassidy.
When we kind of found our legs there and started managing the puck a little better, got stronger on it, then we came on and scored some goals for him. So it's a good formula. And again, you know, every team needs goaltending. You know, there's the odd time, the odd night, you know, you're going to get away without it and human nature. But tonight we needed him to dig in and be very good, and he was.
Which sets up a Game 5 tomorrow night. Bruins can wrap up this first-round series. Puck drops just after 8 o'clock Saturday night, TD Garden. Red Sox completed the sweep of the Angels in Anaheim with an 8-2 win last night. They won the three-game series by a total of 27-3. Tonight, they begin a three-game set with the A's in Oakland. Drew Pomeranz gets the start. And longtime voice of the Patriots, Gil Santos, passed away yesterday at the age of 80. His one-time broadcast partner, Scott Zolak, shares his thoughts with us next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by WestJet Airlines. WestJet has low-fare, nonstop daily flights to Toronto. Book your playoff flights now at WestJet. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Got Simmons wide to the near side left and Brown on the left slot. Jefferson to the far side right. Zolak out of a shotgun has colors to his right in the backfield. Third down and six, San Francisco showing blitz. Snap to Zolak. They pick it up. He looks and shoots it long and deep right side. Jefferson got it. That's a 10-5 touchdown.
Hey.
John Jefferson.
That is the voice of Gil Santos. Not that it needs any introduction whatsoever. The legendary voice of the New England Patriots. The voice of the New England Patriots. Passed away yesterday at the age of 80. He was the Patriots play-by-play voice for many, many years, more than 30 years in that booth. Began broadcasting the Patriots in 1966. Started out as the color man and then eventually became the play-by-play announcer. And as everyone here at this station knows, he retired in 2013. And Zoe, this is a guy that you knew very well.
Yeah. Where to start? Okay. It's funny he says he did the color. So he went to color guy school too.
He
just
did.
Like me.
He hey, did.
Awesome. That clip right there. Now, you go off fun and this and that. Yeah, it was a backup, but that was a hell of a moment for me. That throw, that game. You know, when you sit as long as I did, you finally get a chance to play, unfortunately, to injury to Drew. And I don't mean this in any other way. That call means that much more now to me. Like I love that call when Jim plays it. It resonates so much more now that, wow, he's gone. And I still can't believe it. I couldn't believe it when I picked up my phone last night. And we're sitting there so excited watching a Bruins game. And then David Wade has that breaking news report. I just went, oh no. It can't be. And I say it can't be because his son Mark called me about 10 days ago, 10 or 11 days ago. Can't remember which day it was. And it was after our show and I'm on the way home. And he goes, hey, I got a favor to ask for you. Could you please call my dad? I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad you called because I didn't have Gil's number in my phone. I didn't move it over to my new phone. So he gave me the number again. I said, I've been meaning to call you because I every like 3 months or so I'll call Gil because I know he's sitting at home. He's kind of not doing much. The kids are older, the grandkids, I mean. And I talked to him like 10 days ago and he sounded great. And he told me, hey, Dad had fallen and he went into the rehab home for like 2 weeks, but he's back home now. And we're glad to have him back home. And his spirits are a little down. Could you just give him a call? And I talked to him. Gil, for about 25 minutes, broke down the entire Super Bowl from the Eagles game. Like, this is what they should have done. And, you know, if he's not going to play that damn kid Butler, he's not going to play him. And that's on him. And then when you make decisions like that, you got to live with it. But the game wasn't over. And he knew every situation, every play. And I said, Gil, you sound great. He said, the pipes still work, he said, but as you know, they're compadre. And he would always call, whether it was Gino or me, compadre, the eyes aren't working too well. And I don't have enough time to get in. I don't know how long we're
going to get all the time you want.
And you know me, and you've known me for a long time. I love doing the games. It's great. But what I even love more than doing the games, and if Mark Capello was here, he'd come in and tell you this too. Traveling with Gil and Gino and going out to the dinners the night before, it's like you went out with a freaking Rat Pack.
Like Sinatra himself.
Because Gino
was there.
Gino was kind of into the whole Joe Namath Bachelor's Club down in New York. He would know. He would get all those stories. Gil would talk about the blizzard of 78 when I walked 12 miles barefoot to shovel. And I'm doing his voice the best I can. And these are the good, great memories and fun stories that I'm going to tell you about Gil. And it's like, well, I shoveled every damn sidewalk for 12 cents. And that was a lot of money at that time. And Capello and I would be there, and he'd be kicking me under the table, and we'd be laughing. And Gil had a, you know, as we talk about Jim Nance loves burnt toast, right? Carry around the picture of the burnt toast, and we're telling this story. Well, Gil likes breakfast a certain way. He's got to have cornflakes. Cornflakes and strawberries, fresh-cut strawberries. Starts his breakfast with that, black cup of coffee. And God forbid if that hotel that we were ever traveling to had Special K instead of cornflakes. Excuse me, can you get somebody in the back to come out? And we just sit back and cross arms. And Gino's over there going, here he goes. And this is, they were, and he goes, Gino goes, don't say anything. This happens a lot, you know. And then Gil would have a poached egg also. Now, damn it, if you put too much vinegar in that pot with that poached egg, and the egg didn't have the right consistency, when that fork hit it and it cut, and the way it's supposed to drain over that toast, Gil would give him an up and down. But damn, would he tip good. He would tip well. Because he'd tell you he worked in food services too. Gil worked everything. I think Gil worked 47 different jobs at once. But the fun ones were the old school New York hole-in-the-wall Italian joints. Like if we would go to New York and you Google where you want to eat Italian food, well, there would be like 20 places would pop up and Olive Garden would be one of them. Gino knew the hole-in-the-wall up in the little towns, up on the hillside in Jersey. Right. Just say it's got only like six tables, and you walk in, and they're playing the Godfather theme. We're looking around like, anybody packing in here, you know? But that stuff, that's the stuff I'll never forget. Those two guys, at the beginning, when I started doing the games, been doing it for 6 years. And it feels like I've been doing it forever, 6 years. Gil did this for 36 years. Yeah. He and Gino were together for how many? 30,
I don't know, but
then?
Gil took 10 years off in the middle, and he still did it for 36 years.
Yeah, I think Gino did 30. I think there was a milestone where they both hit that 30 mark together and they got honored for it.
Gil called 744
I was
going to
say, just shy of 750 games.
And this would tell you this would tell you how important like Gil was, too. Back in the day, and this is prior to the new planes and 9/11 and all that crap, and I go back to the Parcells days. We would only board the plane in the front because you had the one stair. And we would go up, and guess who's in the front seat? Gil Santos, first class. Like now, we wouldn't sit up front with the coaches. We don't do that. We would never put that in the contract, but damn it, Gil had the best seat on the plane. And at the end, it's typical Gil. He was sick on one of the Denver trips. I could tell something wasn't right. He was covered in a blanket. He was shaking, shivering. And he said, I just don't feel well. I don't know if I had the flu or what. And I go, come on, give me your bag. Let's go. We got on the bus. We get to the hotel. Come on, we're going up to your room. He goes, put the bag down there. Crank that shower on hot. I want you to run downstairs and you get me a creme de menthe.
Now, this was definitely more colorful than the way you're describing it, knowing the way that he would talk.
Well, I literally sprinted down 10 flights of stairs because you can't get in the elevator because the players are going up and down. They shut the elevators down. So I'm like, oh, my God, do I call somebody? Do I call home? He's like, nope. You put the bag down right there. Turn the bleeping shower on hot and you get downstairs. Tell it down there and you get me a creme de menthe. I had no clue what a creme de menthe was. Like, what is creme de menthe? It's a liqueur or something. On ice. And boom. Ran it back up, and we get to the booth in Denver. Next day, ready to go. Fresh and relaxed. I feel great now. And it's just, man. But I knew, you're working with a legend. I was so nervous when I first started doing games. But he and Gino were so gracious to allow me to be that third guy in. Because if I didn't have that field experience, being down there to listen to them in my ear, I wouldn't understand the flow because as a player, you don't hear them. You hear the highlights. I remember driving around and back when it was, you just basically had WEI and you would hear the highlights of them. And that's the only time you would hear them. But you'd see them all the time. They would host every event. But I'm going to miss them. And I got one more for you too.
Why don't we pay tribute to Gil?
Yeah.
Hang on to that story. And we will get to it after we get to a tribute to him that, again,
Jim Louth put together.
I don't know how you narrow it down. I mean, you got a lot of material to work with there.
That's a good one.
But Jim did his best, so we will pay tribute to Gil. And Zoe, hang on to that story. We'll get to that coming up as well, so don't go anywhere. We'll play that as soon as we come back.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's meant to me the fulfillment of a lifelong dream. When I was 10, 11 years old, that's when I decided I wanted to be a radio announcer.
Rogan calls signals. Rogan goes back to pass. Rogan has time. He fires. Complete to Francis. 20, 15, 10, 5. And he's in. He's in for touchdown.
Remember listening to the Rose Bowl game on January 1st at home in Fairhaven. It was cold. It was snowing. And Mel Allen was doing the Rose Bowl. And from then on, that was what I focused on. My life was a lifelong dream, was to be a play-by-play man.
Stabler is back to pass. Here comes the rush again. He gets it away, and it is incomplete at the 5-yard line. A penalty marker is down, roughing the passer. First down, Oakland, with 52 seconds left.
When I was a kid, I didn't learn to speak English until just before I went to the first grade. Because my grandfather lived with us, and he didn't speak English, so in the house we spoke Portuguese. So they taught me to speak English just before I went to the first grade, and I find it ironic that 60-some-odd years later, I'm going into the Patriots Hall of Fame for my ability to speak English.
Bledsoe back to throw. Looks, floats to the end zone. Touchdown, the Patriots win to Kevin Turner. Drew Bledsoe's third touchdown pass of the game in overtime to Kevin Turner. And the Patriots come back from a 20-0 deficit.
Let me assure you, it was never a job.
Hit midfield. All they got to do is tackle him. The ball game is over. The Patriots win. They have won the Eastern Division.
It was an honor. It was a privilege. And I'm delighted to have been able to do it for all that time.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's the American Football Conference championship game between the Cinderella New England Patriots and the big bad Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm happy to report that despite all the prognostications of doom, the Patriots have shown up here today and will take the field against the Steelers.
You know, you try to be as objective as possible, but on the other hand, I never wanted to leave any doubt in anybody's mind that I wanted the Patriots to win. In my heart, I'm rooting for the Patriots, and I want that to come across. And I think it does.
45-yard field goal attempt coming up. Snap, ball down, kick up on the way, and it is good!
After that game, that week, I was being interviewed on some radio station. The guy said, was that the highlight of your broadcast career up to this point? And I said, yes, absolutely. Did you ever think you can top that? And I said, only if we win the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks on the last play of the game. And don't you know it?
Oh, wow.
We win the Super Bowl on the last play of the game.
The far hash mark, angle to the left for Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good! It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team in the National Football League!
And then you hug Gino, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And we both kind of just sat there and said, my God, you know, our team just won the Super Bowl.
Oh, baby! Oh, oh. What a finish! What a finish to Camus! Oh, my God!
Today, quite frankly, is the high point of my broadcast career of more than 50 years. To be selected to the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Touchdown, Patriots! Tom Brady Randy Moss, and they each have set NFL records on the go-ahead touchdown.
Thank you for appreciating my work.
Back-to-back world championships, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Thank you for all the good things you've said about me.
16-0.
And for those of you who didn't like my work, can't please everybody all the time, despite the fact that you're wrong.
So the Patriots season has come to a close here in the AFC Championship game. And with it has come to a close my 36 years of broadcasting Patriots football. This is Gil Santos thanking you all for 36 wonderful years.
And the question was, can you sum up your life in 6 words?
And I thought about that for 10 seconds, and I said, absolutely. I can sum up my life in 6 words. I am a very lucky man. Thank you. Thank you.
Damn. Nice work, Jim.
Louth.
Nice work.
Wow. That's your best ever, Jim.
Fantastic.
You've done some damn good ones over the years. But when you, cap a guy's life off. Wow. Still can't. Man, feels like he's next to you calling games. It's tough. I mean,
yeah, can you tell me the story about him flipping off John Madden's handler? Because it's my favorite Gil story of all time.
Okay.
My favorite Gil story ever.
Gil will never admit that, you know, he doesn't want anybody to know he smoked. You know, and he died, and he'd go around the corner, and he would do this and that, because some people that smoke, they don't. If you don't want people to see it.
Yeah, except everybody of his age in radio.
Yes.
Smoked. They all did. That was, everybody did.
He didn't. He wouldn't never have that voice if he didn't smoke. Okay? That helped his voice. That, he had that,
they all
that
did.
Deep delivery.
They all did it.
So as you know, because you sit behind us during the broadcast, Bob Soucy sits way to my left, and for people that go to games, you look up in the window, and where Bob stands now is where Gil sat and did the games from. And right directly on the other side of that glass that separates the two booths, the TV booth is right next to us. And for the guy that's doing play-by-play, if it's like Al Michaels or Jim Nance, you sit directly in the middle of that big, massive booth. We have the two biggest booths in the stadium. The color guy, like Tony Romo, going back to the day where I'm describing this with Gil Santos, sitting in the play-by-play spot, and directly on the other side of the glass was John Madden. It was actually John Madden's handler, who would write things down on a piece of paper, hand them to John.
Yeah, like his little assistant there.
Yep.
Producer.
Yeah.
Giving him notes, feeding him information throughout the game.
So, this was like before the game, you know, Gil would sort of, you couldn't run outside to smoke because then you're out in the crowd,
there's
people talking.
To
you hurry up and you light a quick one. And you kind of hang out the window and you let it go out because they didn't want to bug anybody in the booth. So, they come in, meaning the handler, they sent a person that was working, I guess it was NBC or whoever the hell they were doing games for at that time. And he came in our booth and, would you mind please putting the cigarettes out? We're not smoking because it's bugging John. And so, of course, Gil lights another one up. I think this might have been at halftime. And then you get a over there, and it's the handler tapping the glass and pointing to Gil. And he gives him the cut sign, please cut the smoke. And Gil does this, right back to him. Taps it. You're number one, pal. And stood up, and I said, yes! Yes! But that's Gil. I mean, but what a gentleman. I mean, you even hear his delivery right there, his acceptance to the Patriots Hall of Fame. You didn't know that story, too, that he didn't speak English until right before first grade. Man. I got one more for you, too. I got a typewriter story.
Good. Why don't we get to that in 90 seconds?
Okay.
And I didn't know Gil like you knew Gil. I just knew Gil to say hello. How you doing? Just in passing. But I knew Gil like our listeners knew Gil.
Yeah.
As a fan, as someone on the other side of the radio.
And he gave me two pointers on calling games that he said, I know you're going to be doing this for a long time. He says, I think you're pretty good. But I'm going to give you two tips, and you better stick to them.
We'll get to all this coming up right after these headlines. Don't go anywhere.